Tobacco Cessation podcast. My name's Andrew Julio, and I'm your host. I've got really exciting news for everyone and all of our podcast listeners today. I am joined by my colleague and new co-host, Rebecca Alegria. Rebecca, would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, thank you, Anne. Hi, everyone. My name's Rebecca Alegria. I'm a national coordinator at the American Lung Association, and I'm really excited to be part of the podcast group and be a co-host with Anne today.
And today's podcast and today's podcast subject is actually really apt for Rebecca. Similar, we know there's been a lot of turnover in the tobacco control world and the public health world during the COVID-19 pandemic and since then. And so recognizing that there are a number of new people to this work, we've recorded a podcast with a colleague of ours from Colorado, Delaney McMath, who's been in her role about 2.5 years to kind of share what she's learned. So we're really excited to share this conversation with you today. Rebecca, I think there were a couple of things that we had talked about a little bit right after we recorded our conversation with Delaney.
Yeah, there were actually three new terms that we learned today, NRT, NAC, and 618. Why don't we go ahead and start with NRT?
Yeah, that's great. So if you're new to the tobacco control world, NRT means nicotine replacement therapy. There are 5 different types of NRT which have been found safe and effective to help smokers quit. Those are the NRT gum, patch, lozenge, nasal spray, and inhaler. The gum, patch, and lozenge are all available over the counter. You do need a patient does need a prescription for the nasal spray and inhaler. And for most insurance plans, if somebody has a prescription, they can get any of those medications for low and no cost. And these are really very safe and effective to help smokers quit and one of the first line treatments to help them.
Awesome. That's a great explanation. What about NAC?
NAC is a wonderful organization. It is the North American Quitline Consortium. They are a wonderful partner of the American Lung Associations. We work with them very closely. They provide a lot of technical assistance to people working on quitlines, implementing quitlines, overseeing quitline contracts. And again, a quitline, for those of you who may not be familiar, it's every state has a free quitline that anyone can call to get help quitting smoking or any tobacco product. And so if you call 1-800-QUIT-NOW, you'll get redirected to your state's quitline. And again, each state implements them, and NAC is kind of the organization that provides that really important technical assistance with those quitlines.
Perfect. And then lastly, we had 618.
618, that refers to the 618 initiative that CDC started, I want to say in like 2016. 618 refers to 6 high-cost, high-burden disease states and then 18 interventions. This was really a very wonderful, innovative way that CDC convened these state groups that brought together public health officials and Medicaid officials and other types of insurers to kind of figure out ways to tackle some of these disease states. Tobacco is one of them, or tobacco use. Another one is asthma. There is type 2 diabetes, and, you know, 3 others as well. And again, these are disease states that typically have 1 foot in the public health arena and then 1 foot in the healthcare arena. So really to bridge those gaps and to work together with the Medicaid program and for public health to do that. In addition to that, they also brought together subject matter experts that were able to provide technical assistance on the spot to these state teams that, again, consisted of both Medicaid staff as well as public health staff working together collaboratively to address some of these high-cost, high-burden disease states.
Perfect. Thank you, Anne. So now we're super excited to share with you this conversation that we had with Delaney. We hope you enjoy it and that you learn something from it. We'll be back in a little bit.
Can you please introduce yourself and give a brief description about your role and what led you to this career path?
Of course. My name is Delaney McMath, and I work at the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment as the Tobacco Treatment Initiative Specialist. So my primary role is to work on projects and initiatives related to access to tobacco treatment. This means that I work most closely with Medicaid, behavioral health organizations, maternal and child health, and then other community-led organizations and community-led work that's really aimed at equitably increasing access to tobacco treatment. I have been in my role for about 2.5 years, and prior to this role, I had been working mostly in food systems, nutrition, and mental health and substance use at a variety of different community organizations. And then in 2020, I graduated with my MPH in health promotion, wasn't necessarily looking for a job specifically in the tobacco cessation space, but this job posting sounded interesting and seemed to really align with my broader interests in health promotion, community health, health equity. So that's kind of how I ended up here. And my position really has aligned with all of those things. I have learned so much over the last 2 years about the tobacco control movement, and I'm truly still continuing to learn new things every day in this role.
So it sounds like you had some knowledge of tobacco cessation, obviously, with your MPH. How much knowledge about tobacco cessation or quitting smoking in treatments to help people quit smoking did you have prior to beginning this role?
Yeah, I came into this role with very limited knowledge of tobacco cessation. I had a few family members who had quit smoking, but had mostly quit cold turkey, so I wasn't familiar with tobacco treatment in that sense. And then, as I mentioned, I had some experience working in substance use prevention and treatment. And in graduate school, I also supported a professor with some research that included a little bit of work on the tobacco industry and its tactics. But outside of that, I did not have any direct experience really working in tobacco cessation before coming into this role. So when I started, I had a lot to learn about tobacco cessation, as well as just tobacco control in Colorado. I was new to the state when I started my job too. So I think it was really important for me to not just understand the national landscape and the evidence base, but also to understand my state's work in this field.
That sounds really great, and you've clearly done an amazing job in learning just from my working with you over the past couple of years. I'm sure I would, if you had to put my feet to the fire, I would have said that you've been in your role a lot longer than 2.5 years. So that's great. Kind of what steps or resources have been helpful in learning about tobacco cessation, and what would you recommend to someone new to a similar role to yours?
I think the first step that was critical for me as someone who was truly coming to this work with almost zero content knowledge was to first understand the tobacco cessation landscape and evidence base in general. When I started, I did not know much about some of those very fundamental basics of cessation, things like NRT, quit lines, counseling, Medicaid, even commercial insurance coverage. So I first really had to just start by getting a grasp on the basics. And American Lung Association obviously has some really great resources on cessation. I also utilized a lot of resources from NAC and UCSF's Smoking Cessation Leadership Center, especially their trainings and webinars. And then once I felt like I had a better understanding of evidence-based practices and broader tobacco cessation knowledge, I started to dive into more Colorado-specific content. So really understanding things like our funding structure, data and policy in our state, insurance coverage and Medicaid, the Colorado Quit Line. And then I very quickly realized that these things look very different in different states. So for this part of my learning and onboarding, I found it most helpful to meet first with people from my state and from different agencies within the state to not only understand Colorado's landscape better, but also to begin that process of making connections and building relationships. So I met with people from other teams at the health department, with our Medicaid staff, different local health partners from across the state, Quitline representatives, really just trying to get an understanding of what work had been done and what progress had been made prior to me coming into my role, and where there still were and are still opportunities for us to expand and improve this work. Something else I'll also mention is the importance of cross-training. I think when I first started, there was so much content to learn, and I obviously focused primarily on cessation and health systems work because that's what my job is. But over my 2 years here, I have learned that this work is so interconnected. Cessation and policy do not exist in vacuums, and they really do operate in collaboration with each other. So I think looking back on my onboarding experience, I wish I would have done a little bit more cross-training with policy. That's something that I've been trying to do more of recently. And I would encourage people, even if you are new to this space, to learn more about some of the other really important components that may not seem to be directly part of the work that you do, but that do really impact it.
That sounds really great and kind of leads right into my next question about kind of what you find helpful when reaching out to other people in the field of tobacco cessation or tobacco control in general, and then building relationships with other partners.
Yeah, one thing I found really helpful, especially coming into my role during the pandemic when a lot of agencies' priorities had really shifted and a lot of folks were not focused on tobacco cessation, was using my newness and unfamiliarity to those people as a strength. So because people didn't know who I was, I tried to utilize my new role to make introductions and to reestablish some old relationships and form new relationships. I think a good example of this when I first started was rebuilding our relationship with our Medicaid agency. When I came on board, there had been significant turnover at our Medicaid agency, in addition to obviously a lot of shifted priorities. Tobacco had understandably been pushed to the side a little during the pandemic. So when I started, I took it as an opportunity to start building those relationships again, reaching out to our new contacts at Medicaid, setting up meetings, honestly starting from square one to get a sense of what they were working on, what their priorities were, and how we could support each other in that. So I think there were a couple of other approaches and strategies that I think were helpful in this process. First, I do think patience is really key. I know that that is said a lot in this space, but we have made a lot of progress and worked on a lot of different collaborative projects with our Medicaid agency over the last couple years, but it took time to establish those new relationships. And sometimes you do have to wait for natural opportunities to arise, especially if there is a lot going on. And like with any relationship, I think approaching partnerships with a mutually beneficial goal is key. So making sure that they're not just supporting our tobacco work, but that we're also offering our support and services to them when we can. And finally, I think it's okay to start small if that's where the partnership is currently at. Like I said, when I first started and began partnering with Medicaid, they had so many other competing priorities. So I didn't jump straight in with any huge projects or any big asks, but instead looked for some opportunities to collaborate on smaller initiatives. So simple things like incorporating their input and feedback into our tobacco cessation materials for Medicaid members and offering our recommendations on their tobacco cessation information in their member handbook. Then once we kind of had that established mutually beneficial partnership, when some more exciting opportunities and some bigger opportunities naturally came up, for example, in 2021, we had a state bill that requires pharmacists to be reimbursed by Medicaid for certain services, including tobacco cessation. We were in a much better position to collaborate and to work together with Medicaid on that project.
And that was really great. And I love kind of how, you know, using your newness as a strength. I think that's such a great concept and a great framework for so many people who are new to their roles. One thing I think as we talk about any field or any kind of statewide work is obviously the work started before you got here. And so learning about the state's history and the landscape is absolutely crucial to be able to excel in your role and affect change. Was there any specific strategies that you found helpful in doing this work, kind of learning about the history and where you fit in and where you're going from here?
Yeah, I touched on this a little bit earlier, but I think my first recommendation is to simply connect with people who know your state's landscape best. So both internal partners and external partners to your agency, but within your state. I was really lucky when I came on board to have a supervisor who had a really strong historical knowledge of our program. So I did learn a lot from her, as well as other teammates and colleagues at the state who knew more about some of those state-specific issues and processes and history. I also spent a lot of time just reviewing and diving into old documents, data reports, presentations. For example, Colorado had participated in the 618 initiative before I started on the team. So I went back and looked at old presentations and reports from that work to try to understand how our program had grown and advanced prior to my start date. I also think when you're trying to understand your state's landscape, history and political landscape are really important. So in the case of Colorado, we have a number of priority populations that we've identified who have tobacco use rates that are higher than the general population. And it was important for me coming into this role to not just understand what our state's data shows, but to understand some of the history that has caused or contributed to those outcomes. Another strategy that was extremely helpful for me when it came to things like Medicaid or funding structure was, ironically enough, finding other states, specifically ones that had a similar landscape to Colorado. Obviously, every state is unique and has a different history and a different way of doing things. So it's crucial to first connect with people in your state who know that landscape best. But there are often some similarities across states. When I first started, one of the projects that I began working on in my role was reevaluating our funding process and requirements for the local health agencies that we fund. And so I first kind of made sure to catch myself up on how Colorado funds local health agencies and what our internal processes look like. But in thinking ahead to trying to figure out ways that we can improve our processes going forward, it was extremely helpful to look at other states that had similar landscapes and to learn from their work. So the work group that I was a part of found that Oregon's local health model had many similarities to ours. And we learned a lot in conversations with their staff that help inform our efforts and find some areas where we could grow in the work that we were doing.
Well, thank you. That was absolutely wonderful and incredibly insightful, and I can only imagine as helpful to people new in their roles in the tobacco control program. Is there anything else that you'd like to add, or even anything that you would tell yourself if you could go back in time when you were first starting?
I think the only other thing that I would say to other people who are new to this work and to myself when I first started would be to try to find the strengths in being new to this space. I think when you're new to something, it can feel really overwhelming. And of course, there's a lot of important onboarding and learning that is critical to understanding this work. But I would say don't be afraid to leverage your newness by asking questions and noticing areas where things maybe could be done better. You have the benefit of having a set of fresh eyes to identify things that maybe are confusing or that could be improved, to apply some insights from your experience in other fields, or even just noticing missed opportunities that others on your team may not see or may not have seen because they've been doing this work for so long. I think in public health, we're notorious for using a lot of big words and a lot of jargon, and things can be confusing in a way that actually hinders us from reaching people. So I think there's a lot of benefit in many ways to being new and having a new perspective. So I would say try to find the power and the strength in not knowing things as you're navigating your role.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It was really a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed that conversation that I had with Delaney. It was really wonderful to talk with her and for her to share her expertise with all of us. She's really learned a lot and has had some really valuable things to share and lessons to share. Rebecca, what are three key things that you took away from that conversation with Delaney?
Yeah, I think she touched on some really great points, something that stuck to me, especially as someone who has been in the tobacco world for less than a year, was to always keep building partnerships and the importance of partnerships. I think we often forget how similar others' roles are to ours and how much they could really help if you just sit down and have a conversation with them. And following along with that, she also mentioned to use your new role to an advantage when speaking with other partners, to build new relationships and to keep those partnerships going. And I think that's super important to know that your new role could potentially be a set way into building a new relationship with other agencies or other states. And finally, just always keep learning. I think sometimes when we get too comfortable in a role, it's hard to think that we can learn more from it. But just remembering that there's always new things coming. There's always new people we can talk to, new minds that we can learn from. So it's super important to never set away from learning and to know that we can always learn something and we can always benefit from talking to someone and having a conversation with them.
Those are really amazing things, and I totally agree with you. Thank you so much for being part of today's podcast, and we hope that you'll join us again soon. So thank you again for joining the American Lung Association's Tobacco Cessation Podcast, and we will see you soon.